nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So as many of you know, I'm from Texas A&M, but whoop. As many of you might not know, is that my first semester in A&M, I was in the Corps of Cadets. And in the Corps, there's a 6-week period which is faced with trials and tribulations to earn your place within the Corps. This period is called brass, and significance that once you complete this period, you earn brass insignias to wear on the collar of your uniform that you wear daily. And at the end of the 6 weeks, there's a workout called the brass culmination workout. And this workout is hard, stressful, and very difficult. This workout is a constantly moving workout where there are 3 items you can choose to carry while running. You can choose an ammo can, which is fully loaded, sandbags, or the worst of all, there's a stretcher with 4 positions, the front left all the way to the back right, that is noticeably the hardest of all these choices. So much so that at the beginning of the workout, each member is assigned to the stretcher because at first no one would want to go on. And the way that we transfer each handle to the next person is you would call front left or back right for where you are and where you need help. I remember in this workout, I was scared and nervous because I wasn't the strongest of all my friends, and I knew that strength was needed to carry this stretcher. But I ran forward, I grabbed onto the handle, and I chose to put my friends above myself. Even though I was scared, through teamwork, we were able to complete this workout. And because I put my friends above myself, I was able to be a part of this amazing moment. We read that 3 things are required for this humility, to put others above ourselves. Humility requires surrender, humility requires obedience, and humility requires sacrifice. As one of the first things we were taught in the Corps at A&M is John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And these hard moments, these workouts, these times with friends, you begin to realize in the Corps that this isn't about you. This isn't your glory, and that you need those beside you. And you do it for them and not for yourself, because you would fail without those beside you. We see this choice of self, ambition, and putting others first right here in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So how do we catch this in our hearts? We first ask, when we commit actions, am I seeking Christ's glory or my own? Or for me personally, when someone corrects me in gentleness and kindness and it angers me, I have the responsibility to ask myself, am I upset because they were wrong or because my pride was wounded? We move into verse 4. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Paul tells us clearly, do not ignore your own responsibilities. But as a Christian, you look to care for the needs of others. But Paul has also already given us the antidote to our own interests, our own glory. It's adopting humility. And Paul even says, regarding others as more important than myself. But why do we choose to do this? Because Jesus humbled himself. And because our Savior humbled himself, who are we to be proud? Because our Savior humbled himself, who are we to seek to be above others? And so many times, someone will tell me, Jesse, you just don't understand. I built myself. I had this done to me. I had this person who wronged me, and yet I prevailed. I earned this. So this is my glory. But the question is that I look towards this person, and I see no holes in their wrists. I see no stab wound in their side. We look towards Jesus. As Paul tells us directly in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Paul gives us step one right there. Look to Jesus. One of my favorite sayings, what would Jesus do? And we have to ask ourselves, how do I know what Jesus would do? The only answer for that is to spend time with Jesus. This means keeping your mind and your heart obedient to Jesus. This means putting your cell phone away. This means turning the music off and sitting in silence with Christ, sitting in silence with Scripture. We move into verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Paul lays a foundational truth here. When we look at the Greek manuscript, where Paul says, being in very nature, he does not use a simple word for being. He uses the Greek word hypersim, which is not a common word for just existing or being. It means the essence of, and which cannot be changed, and in any circumstances remains the same. Paul is telling us here the truth that Jesus is essentially and unalterably God, not a prophet, not a man, but Jesus is God. And now that we know this, now that we understand Jesus' position as God, one thing is clear, is that Jesus stepped down, because humility requires stepping down. Humility requires surrender. And we look at this equality with God, and we look towards the first example, Adam, who reached upward and tried to grasp this equality with God. And we look at Jesus, who reached down and stepped down, renounced this equality with God to become man. And we judge Adam. We judge Adam for his attempt to be equal with our Lord. But we are Adam, because there are times that we don't trust God because we don't have the information we want, because we don't know the future. We can ask ourselves, where am I trying to fill myself before trusting God? Where am I trusting myself before trusting God? So many times we pray, Lord, I trust you. And Lord, I know I need you, but not with this. Lord, you know I struggle with this, and I haven't seen your hand move how I think it should move. And Lord, I know I need you, but not with this. Paul tells us clearly, keep your mind and heart obedient to Jesus. We go into verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He made himself nothing. We read in other translations, he emptied himself, meaning he left no room for self-indulgence or self-prestige. We read in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To serve. We read right here in verse 7, taking the very nature of a servant, which clearly is obedience, which we see in Jesus' first miracle of obedience to his mother, Jesus reveals himself to the entirety of the world out of obedience. We also read in verse 7, made in human likeness. So we look at Jesus' most human moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let this cup pass from me. We focus on the deity, the God that is Jesus, but so many times we go over, he was human. Christ understood suffering. He understood our suffering because he had felt that suffering. And by saying, let this cup pass from me, Jesus is begging his Father, I don't want to suffer. Yet, he chooses obedience. Jesus says right after this, he says, yet not my will, but yours be done. Because humility requires obedience. And as he served, we must serve him as Lord. Because Jesus calls us to acknowledge his lordship by our obedience through humility. He also calls us to acknowledge him as our master. And why? It says clearly in the book of Matthew that a servant cannot serve two masters, for he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So we look between Jesus and the master of this world, our flesh. And who do we choose to be obedient to? Because we understand that we cannot be fully obedient to both. We have one master who calls us to life and eternity, and the other who demands gratification and destruction. And we know that we cannot be fully obedient to both. You must sacrifice one to serve the other. Because Paul explains a very brutal truth here. Humility requires sacrifice. We read right here in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on a cross. Let us never forget how brutal of a death the cross was that our Savior went through for us. We learn from this that there can be no victory without a sacrifice, because every meaningful victory has a cost. And it's clear that our salvation was purchased, not earned by us, not earned by our works. We see that victory is found in sacrifice, just as the resurrection came after the cross. So we understand that humility requires sacrifice, such as laying down your life for others, as we've read in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We understand with the holiday we celebrated yesterday, July 4th, that freedom has a cost. We understand that countless men and women in uniform have suffered and given their lives so that we could live in freedom. And we honor that sacrifice today. And we look towards the greatest sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ, so sinners could be eternally free. We move into verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Exalt. It means to lift up, to honor, to give praise. But we know that Jesus did not seek this. He did not desire to exalt himself, but only to renounce all of his glory for the sake of man. We also read in Matthew 23:12, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. We read in verse 10, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And as Christians, we understand there will be knees that bow in joy to our Savior, but there will also be knees that bow in judgment. We look at Paul and his final words in verse 11. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our truth sits here. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, just as our lives should be to the glory of our Father. We see that humility requires surrender, humility requires obedience, and humility requires sacrifice. Surrender in a way that we must surrender our pride, we must surrender our own glory, and we must surrender our control. Humility requires obedience in a way that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to death on a cross. And we exalt Jesus by obeying him. But humility requires sacrifice as well, because with no sacrifice, there can be no victory. We understand that victory follows sacrifice, as Jesus' exaltation followed his humility. We understand how to imitate the humility of Christ through surrender, through obedience, and through sacrifice. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the truth that you have given us, Lord. We thank you that you've displayed to us how to be humble. Lord, you've told us the truth. It begins with our surrender. It is marked by our daily sacrifices and is led out through obedience. Amen.
True to his holy name. Christmas.